It really is the year of political upstarts in Connecticut. We've got the first gubernatorial primary with a sitting governor since 1978. And we have another Democrat looking for Rosa DeLauro's seat. And joining me here again today is Andrew Rice, who is running for Connecticut's 3rd District. Thank you for coming back.
Thank you for having me back, John. I really appreciate it. Well, and hello there, Connecticut.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. This is your alternative, Connecticut. If you have been, if you are upset with Congresswoman DeLauro's policies, you've got a liberal alternative. And so, Andrew, let's recap our last meeting. So you missed out on your delegate count to appear on the ballot by 6 votes.
Correct.
Okay. But you've still got the petition out there. You're still collecting signatures. Actually, let me start with that. How's that going?
So we are collecting the signatures. We have until June 9th at 4 p.m. to submit at minimum 3,386 signatures. However, the Rosa DeLauro campaign can, up until August 10th, challenge the validity of each signature. So we're trying to double that count. Yes, because they will go through if there is, an I that isn't dotted or a T that isn't crossed that, could potentially be thrown out. If someone, my name's Andrew Rice. If I were to write Andy Rice, because that's what people call me, and that's not exactly what's on the voter registration form, they could cross that off.
Oh, so like my name is John Kamal, and I go professionally as that, and that's if anyone's heard my name, they've heard it that way, but my full name is Jonathan. So if I was to write John, and yet everybody knows me as that, mm-hmm. it would be invalid.
Most likely, yes.
That's very... petty. Talking about the law, not talking about the DeLauro campaign. Let me make that clear. But that law itself is quite petty. That's hysterical. All right. But this is not the first time that you've brushed up with issues in terms of your candidacy and in terms of your interactions with the DeLauro campaign. I want to play a clip real quick. This is from our last conversation, which was, about 10 days ago, I'd say? Something like that.
Now, a lot of delegates had approached us and said that they are nervous to vote for me because of retaliation, harassment, and pressuring from the DeLauro campaign, from the DTC chairs, from party insiders, such as, Jimmy Tickey. And I'm going to name names because I'm tired of people not being held accountable. This is democracy. They broke several rules. And I've complained. We've filed a complaint with the Democratic State Central Committee to contest the convention and request a new one, because if you're not going to follow the rules, you need to be held accountable.
And if you are listening at home, I did reach out to the DeLauro campaign and Jimmy Tickey specifically as well for comments on that. So they have been made aware. But okay, so you had a hearing last night.
I sure did.
You had a hearing last night with the Democratic State Committee regarding the allegations that you said in that clip that we just played there. So let's talk about that. I think that's the big news today.
So yesterday, myself and Alex Talvez, he represented us, the campaign, and we made our case to Democratic State Central that the results of the convention are invalid because the rules set forth and established by Democratic State Central Committee, a group of lawyers, no doubt, that wrote these rules, they were not followed at the convention. And the two most consequential rules that were not followed was first, the vote was supposed to be a roll call vote. So Ansonio, how do your delegates vote? 5 for DeLauro, 1 for Rice, and so on and so forth. And we believe had the roll call vote been taken, as delegates saw that we were gaining support, more delegates would have come over to our camp because, as I mentioned in that clip, there was a lot of pressure campaign from the DeLauro campaign, from people like Jimmy Tickey. I'm going to throw in another name for you. Lieutenant Governor Susan Bisewitz, the Kyle Gow campaign over in the 2nd District has evidence that Susan Bisewitz was putting her finger on the scale, and Susan Bisewitz was a delegate at the 3rd Convention. And so, yes, delegates were afraid of not being able to be delegates again, afraid of being kicked off of the DTC. Some delegates who are, legislators were worried that they could lose funding to their towns because of their support for me. And then the other most consequential rule that was broken was the 10-minute window. So
Can I hold on?
Yes.
But I want to hear a lot. I want to hear all of this, and I want to hear more about the second rule. But I do have to pause for a sec just because we're now mentioning major Democrats in Connecticut,
yes,
right?
We are.
So we're talking about the lieutenant governor. We're talking about, you know, well-known political operatives in the Democratic Party. We're, of course, talking about the DeLauro campaign. So please take this question in the spirit that it's intended. Are you at this point, is there a part of you, is there even a thought, I guess I'll just ask it straight out. Are you still playing to win? Or at this point, is this about, you know, pulling back the curtain and unveiling what at least you view as an unfair process? And, you know, some might even use the word corruption in the party so that the next person can get it done. Or are you still keeping, you know, the full idea of, you know, I'm not only going to, you know, unmask what, you know, what I feel is going on, but also I'm going to win this thing. Do you understand what I'm saying?
I do. And I'm doing both.
Okay.
I'm doing both. I think it is the voters and the constituents and the people of Connecticut need to know that, yes, this is just blatant corruption. The people that are supposed to be holding these people accountable are the voters. The people that delegates should, so this is this movie called Viva Vendetta, and he says that governments shouldn't be afraid of their people. People shouldn't be afraid of their governments. Government should be afraid of their people.
Right.
Yes, the people in government should not be concerned about how others in the party are going to treat them or harass them or retaliate against them. They should be concerned about how the voters, because that is who we're here to serve, are the voters, not other people in the party. And so, yes, I want to make a point. I want to make it clear to the people of Connecticut that the Democratic Party establishment is corrupt, that they are not as supportive of democracy as you imagine that they would be, and that there are many systemic barriers to prevent there from being an actual choice for voters. Everyone says, you know, you get to choose on November, you know, the November general election. No, you're not given a choice, actually. You are forced into picking the lesser of two evils, either the Democrat or the Republican. And in the Democratic Party, we're supposed to believe in choice. We're supposed to believe in democracy. We're supposed to believe in franchising voters to have their voices heard. But we're doing the exact opposite in this party. And I want to hold those people accountable, because if we are going to clamor about the SAVE Act and the gutting of the Civil Rights Act and rigging elections and cheating and stealing, and the fact
you're talking about a national level now as well, right?
Apparently local, state, and national.
Right. Okay.
And so when things like this happen behind, and it isn't even behind the scenes, they did this in full view of the public on camera. So they couldn't even deny any of our allegations because all of them were on film.
Okay.
And if they're willing to do this kind of stuff on film, what are they doing behind the scenes? And to me, that just gives the Republican Party the fuel they need to say, hey, look, yes, Democrats do rig elections. And so at the end of the day, I'm always in it to win it. And I will take this as far as I can go, because I do intend to be the next representative of Connecticut's third congressional district.
Sure.
But also exposing that corruption, I think, will help our case, because that petition, the results of the hearing yesterday will be made within the next 3 days. And we did propose two remedies. The first remedy being a second convention held where the rules are followed. The second remedy is that, understanding that had that, oh, because the 10-minute rule, there's a 10-minute rule.
Sorry, thank you. And I was going to follow up with that, but no, keep going.
There's a 10-minute rule that after the vote, the chair shall have a 10-minute period for delegates to switch their votes. In Connecticut's first congressional district, Jillian Gilchrist wound up getting 8% of the delegates. And they had a 10-minute window, and she was able to get an additional 7% of delegates to reach that 15% threshold. I came in at 13%, 13.3% to be precise, and we only needed 1.7% of delegates to switch their vote.
Yeah.
So it is completely within the realm of possibility that we would have gotten those six delegates. We got two attestations from two delegates saying that they would have switched their votes if given the opportunity.
Okay.
We heard from a third delegate that he wasn't able to make it to the convention. He wanted to vote for me, so we had to get a proxy. The chair of the Hamden DTC took that and, you know, said, oh, I'll get a proxy for you, not disclosing that it is the choice of the delegate to choose their proxy. And so that chair chose a Rosa DeLauro delegate. So I lost another vote there. So the second remedy that we proposed is that the likelihood was that we would have gotten that 15% threshold, put us on the ballot
Okay, right. I was guessing that was where you were going.
Put us on the ballot.
Okay.
Show us that you believe in democracy. Show us that you believe in choice. Show us that you believe in accountability. Mistakes happen. I understand that. What are you going to do to rectify that mistake? What are you going to do to hold yourselves accountable so that we can have the moral high ground to say, yes, even though we will make mistakes too, we will learn from them and we will grow and we will ensure this doesn't happen again. Because again, I do intend on being on that primary ballot on August 11th. I intend on winning that primary, but should I not, I don't want this happening to someone else in 2 years or 4 years because this is not fair. We live in a democracy. If the party believes in fairness, they have an opportunity to show it, or we risk damaging turnout in November because we saw in 2024 when primaries are rigged, when people are deprived of a choice, when they don't feel like they are involved in the process, they're less inclined to show up. And this could happen again, and we do not want to risk the possibility of having a Republican take this seat because we have exposed Rosa DeLauro for her weakness. And the Democratic Party, instead of encouraging a primary, instead of encouraging a debate so that Rosa DeLauro can show up. I mean, look what happened with her and Lee Zeldin. Is that who we want representing us? People need to see if she is capable of having a debate, of holding her record and being to hold herself accountable. And if the voters decide at the end of the day that, yes, she still has what it takes to represent them, to fight for their needs, to go up against fascism, then the Democratic population in this district will vote for her, and that will solidify her position going into November. Without a debate, without a primary, I believe that she'll be a weaker candidate going into the general election, and that could risk losing the seat to a Republican.
Absolutely. And now you say 3 days. That's Monday, then. Tuesday.
Sunday or Monday, we should have a decision.
Okay.
In the meantime, we are going full force with the petition pledge process. It is laborious. You have to, so each person has to go to their town registrar. The other day, I spent a half an hour at my registrar just writing my name and address in on 30 pieces of paper. And the registrar wrote, you know, her name and the date on those 30 pieces of paper. Then I had to go to the bank to get those 30 pieces of paper notarized, which took another half an hour. And then I'm going to have to find time to go to 30 different, or not, well, not that there's only 25 towns in the district, but 25 different towns. I'm going to have to find time to go and bring these in person to those registrars. And it's just such a laborious process that is designed to prevent people from having access to the ballot. It is undemocratic. It is undemocratic. It is unfair. It is corrupt. It needs to be exposed. It needs to be challenged. It needs to be changed.
Well, if this message is resonating for you listening at home right now, Andrew, tell people where they can go to find out more about you and your campaign and possibly sign the petition.
So we have an unofficial petition. So we can't even do this electronically. Every signature has to be collected in person with wet ink. But in order to identify people, we do have a sign-up sheet online. That way we can find people who are willing to sign. And say we get like 100 people who sign up in Hamden. Yeah. We can send those 100 people an email saying, look, on this day, we will have circulators outside of Hamden Library ready to collect signatures. Please come out, sign the petition. Because we can't, unless we have hundreds of volunteers, we can't even go door to door to get those signatures.
So you sign up to get signed up. Or no, you sign up to get information about how you can get signed up.
Correct.
Yeah. No, that's loopholes. That's a lot to jump through. Absolutely.
Yep. And many people I talk to, because you know we're going out in the public, we're going to beaches, we're going to boardwalks, we're going to, just streets near the greens and downtown areas.
Yeah.
And you go up to a voter and you have to ask them. All right, well, first of all, hey, I'm a complete stranger. Are you a registered voter? Can I ask your voter registration status? Can I ask what town you live in? That's not creepy at all.
No. In fact, in radio, you have to do like on the street audio sometimes. And that's just for like silly nonsense, and that's difficult. So I can't imagine when you're actually talking about someone's vote.
Yes. Yeah. And then a lot of people are like, oh, I'm independent or I'm unaffiliated because I'm just tired of both parties.
Right.
And so what's happening right now with this process, this is why there are so many unaffiliated voters, because I honestly blame the Democrats a lot more than I do the Republicans, because the Republicans just show who they are. Democrats are wolves in sheep's skin.
It's a common yes. I've heard as such from many people recently. That's a common and possibly fair description of the Democratic Party. Absolutely. Well, listen, Andrew Rice, RiceForCT.com.
RiceForCT.com.
Absolutely. Andrew Rice, thank you again so much for joining me today.
And thank you for having me on. It's people like you that give people like me an opportunity to be heard. And so what you are doing is admirable and is actually a positive force for democracy. So really, thank you.
Oh, my gosh. Well, now I got to give you the aw shucks. I'm just doing my job responses. But thank you very much.
It's an important job.
Thank you, sir. You're listening to The Download on The Voice of Connecticut, WICC.